The evidence clearly reveals that board members who voted in favor of the curriculum change blindly adopted the recommendations of the architects of the ID policy, Bonsell and Buckingham, with respect to their decision to incorporate it as part of the high school biology curriculum while disregarding opposition by the science teachers and administration. Subsection O, development of statement to be read to students. After the curriculum was changed, Boxer was given the task of preparing a statement to be read to students before the evolution unit in biology commenced. The persuasive evidence presented at trial demonstrates that the final version of the statement communicated a very different message about the theory of evolution than the language that Boxer and senior science teacher Jen Miller proposed. First, Boxer's initial draft of the statement described Darwin's theory of evolution as the dominant scientific theory. However, the board removed such language from the final version. Second, Boxer's draft stated that there are gaps in Darwin's theory for which there is yet no evidence. However, the board selectively edited out the word yet so that the statement is read in a considerably different light to be, there are gaps in Darwin's theory for which there is no evidence. Third, after Jen Miller reviewed the statement at Box's suggestion, she suggested that language be added that there is a significant amount of evidence supporting Darwin's theory. Although Boxer felt this was an accurate statement about the scientific theory of evolution, he removed such language because he understood that the board would not approve it as written. As previously noted, the final version of the statement prepared by defendants to be read to students in ninth grade biology class states as follows. The Pennsylvania academic standards require students to learn about Darwin's theory of evolution and eventually to take a standardized test of which evolution is a part. Because Darwin's theory is a theory, it continues to be tested as new evidence is discovered. The theory is not a fact. Gaps in the theory exist for which there is no evidence. A theory is defined as a well-tested explanation that unifies a broad range of observations. Intelligent design is an explanation of the origin of life that differs from Darwin's view. The reference book of Pandas and People is available for students who might be interested in gaining an understanding of what intelligent design actually involves. With respect to any theory, students are encouraged to keep an open mind. The school leaves the discussion of the origins of life to individual students and their families. As a standards-driven district, class instruction focuses upon preparing students to achieve proficiency on standard-based assessments. Subsequently, on January 6, 2005, the teachers sent a memo to the board requesting that they be released from any obligation to read the statement. The memo provides in relevant part as follows. You have indicated that students may opt out of this portion, the statement read to students at the beginning of the biology evolution unit, of the class, and that they will be excused and monitored by an administrator. We respectfully exercise our right to opt out of the statement portion of the class. We will relinquish the classroom to an administrator, and we will monitor our own students. This request is based upon our considered opinion that reading the statement violates our responsibilities as professional educators as set forth in the Code of Professional Practice and Conduct for Educators. Intelligent design is not science. Intelligent design is not biology. Intelligent design is not an accepted scientific theory. I believe that if I, as the classroom teacher, read the required statement, my students will inevitably and understandably believe that intelligent design is a valid scientific theory, perhaps on par with the theory of evolution. That is not true. To refer the students to Of Pandas and People as if it is a scientific resource breaches my ethical obligation to provide them with scientific knowledge that is supported by recognized scientific proof or theory. Administrators were thus compelled to read the statement to ninth graders at Dover High School in January 2005 because of the refusal of the teachers to do so. The administrators read the statement again in June 2005. By that time, defendants had modified the statement to refer to other unnamed books in the library that relate to ID. However, Pandas remains the only book identified by name in the statement. Defendants offered no evidence concerning whether other books can be found in the library, including whether they are placed near Pandas. Subsection P, newsletter published by the board. As we previously explained in detail, the board mailed a newsletter to the entire Dover community in February 2005, which was prepared in conjunction with the TMLC. Additionally, on April 23, 2005, lead defense expert Professor Beha made a presentation on ID to Dover citizens at the board's request. Subsection Q, effect of board's actions on plaintiffs. Plaintiffs provided compelling testimony as to the harm caused by the board's ID policy on their children, families, and themselves in consistent but personal ways. Plaintiffs believe that ID is an inherently religious concept and that its inclusion in the district's science curriculum interferes with their rights to teach their children about religion. Plaintiffs additionally testified that their children confront challenges to their religious beliefs at school because of the board's actions, that the board's actions have caused conflict within the family unit, and that there is discord in the community. The testimony of Joel Leib, whose family has lived in Dover for generations, is representative of the plaintiff's harm caused by the board's actions in enacting the ID policy. Well, it's driven a wedge where there hasn't been a wedge before. People are afraid to talk to people for fear, and that's what's happened to me. They're afraid to talk to me because I'm on the wrong side of the fence. Moreover, board members and teachers opposing the curriculum change and its implementation have been confronted directly. First, Casey Brown testified that following her opposition to the curriculum change on October 18, 2004, Buckingham called her an atheist, and Bonsall told her that she would go to hell. Second, Angie Yingling was coerced into voting for the curriculum change by board members accusing her of being an atheist and unchristian. In addition, both Brian Rem and Fred Callahan have been confronted in similarly hostile ways, as have teachers in the DASD. Subsection R. Defendants presented no convincing evidence that they were motivated by any valid secular purpose. Although defendants attempt to persuade this court that each board member who voted for the biology curriculum change did so for the secular purpose of improving science education and to exercise critical thinking skills, their contentions are simply irreconcilable with the record evidence. Their asserted purposes are a sham, and they are accordingly unavailing for the reasons that follow. We initially note that the Supreme Court has instructed that while courts are normally deferential to a state's articulation of a secular purpose, it is required that the statement of such purpose be sincere and not a sham. Although, as noted, defendants have consistently asserted that the ID policy was enacted for the secular purposes of improving science education and encouraging students to exercise critical thinking skills, the board took none of the steps that school officials would take if these stated goals had truly been their objective. The board consulted no scientific materials. The board contacted no scientists or scientific organizations. The board failed to consider the views of the district's science teachers. The board relied solely on legal advice from two organizations with demonstrably religious, cultural, and legal missions, the Discovery Institute and the TMLC. Moreover, defendants' asserted secular purpose of improving science education is belied by the fact that most, if not all, of the board members who voted in favor of the biology curriculum change conceded that they still do not know, nor have they ever known, precisely what ID is. To assert a secular purpose against this backdrop is ludicrous. Finally, although defendants have unceasingly attempted in vain to distance themselves from their own actions and statements, which culminated in repetitious, untruthful testimony, such a strategy constitutes an additional strong evidence of improper purpose under the first prong of the Lemon test. As exhaustively detailed herein, the thought leaders on the board made it their considered purpose to inject some form of creationism into the science classrooms, and by dint of their personalities and persistence, they were able to pull the majority of the board along in their collective wake. Any asserted secular purposes by the board are a sham and are merely secondary to a religious objective. Defendants previously referenced flagrant and insulting falsehoods to the court provide sufficient and compelling evidence for us to deduce that any allegedly secular purposes that have been offered in support of the ID policy are equally insincere. Accordingly, we find that the secular purposes claimed by the board amount to a pretext for the board's real purpose, which was to promote religion in the public school classroom in violation of the Establishment Clause. Section 2, Effect Inquiry. Although defendants' actions have failed to pass constitutional muster under the endorsement test and pursuant to the purpose prong of Lemon, thus making further inquiry unnecessary, we will briefly address the final Lemon prong relevant to our inquiry, which is effect in the interest of completeness. The Supreme Court has instructed the following with regard to the Lemon effect prong. The core notion animating the requirement that an official act's principal or primary effect be one that neither advances nor inhibits religion is not only that government may not be overtly hostile to religion, but also that it may not place its prestige, coercive authority, or resources behind a single religious faith or behind religious belief in general, compelling non-adherents to support the practices or proselytizing of favored religious organizations, and conveying the message that those who do not contribute gladly are less than full members of the community. While the Third Circuit formally treats the endorsement test and the Lemon test as distinct inquiries to be treated in succession, it has continued to recognize the relationship between the two. Moreover, because the Lemon effect test largely covers the same ground as the endorsement test, we will incorporate our extensive factual findings and legal conclusions made under the endorsement analysis by reference here, in accordance with Third Circuit practice. To briefly reiterate, we first note that since ID is not science, the conclusion is inescapable that the only real effect of the ID policy is the advancement of religion. Second, the disclaimer read to students has the effect of implicitly bolstering alternative religious theories of origin by suggesting that evolution is a problematic theory even in the field of science. Third, reading the disclaimer not only disavows endorsement of educational materials, but also juxtaposes that disavowal with an urging to contemplate alternative religious concepts implies school board approval of religious principles. The effect of defendants' actions in adopting the curriculum change was to impose a religious view of biological origins on the biology course in violation of the Establishment Clause. Part G, challenge under the Pennsylvania Constitution. In addition to the Establishment Clause challenge, plaintiffs assert that defendants' actions in enacting the ID policy violate their rights under the Pennsylvania Constitution, specifically Article 1, Section 3. Article 1, Section 3 of the Pennsylvania Constitution states the following. All men have a natural and indefeasible right to worship Almighty God according to the dictates of their own consciences. No man can of right be compelled to attend, erect, or support any place of worship, or to maintain any ministry against his consent. No human authority can in any case whatsoever control or interfere with the rights of conscience, and no preference shall ever be given by law to any religious establishments or modes of worship. As we explained in our March 10, 2005 order, the Pennsylvania Supreme Court has opined in Springfield School District versus Commonwealth of Pennsylvania that the provisions of Article 1, Section 3 do not exceed the limitations in the First Amendment's Establishment Clause. In discussing the provisions of Article 1, Section 3, the Pennsylvania Supreme Court explained, "The principles enunciated in this part of our Constitution reflected a concern for the protection of the religious freedoms of Pennsylvanians long before the First Amendment to the United States Constitution was made applicable to the states through the 14th Amendment. The protection of rights and freedoms secured by this section of our Constitution, however, does not transcend the protection of the First Amendment of the United States Constitution. Consequently, our discussion of the issues raised under the federal Constitution applies with equal vigor to the issues raised by plaintiffs that are grounded in our state Constitution, in light of this Court's prior ruling that the ID policy violates the Establishment Clause of the First Amendment. The Court likewise concludes that the ID policy is violative of plaintiffs' rights under the Pennsylvania Constitution." Part H, conclusion. The proper application of both the endorsement and Lemon tests to the facts of this case makes it abundantly clear that the Board's ID policy violates the Establishment Clause. In making this determination, we have addressed the seminal question of whether ID is science. We have concluded that it is not, and moreover that ID cannot uncouple itself from its creationist and thus religious antecedents. Both defendants and many of the leading proponents of ID make a bedrock assumption which is utterly false. Their presupposition is that evolutionary theory is antithetical to a belief in the existence of a supreme being and to religion in general. Repeatedly in this trial, plaintiff's scientific experts testified that the theory of evolution represents good science is overwhelmingly accepted by the scientific community, and that it in no way conflicts with, nor does it deny, the existence of a divine creator. To be sure, Darwin's theory of evolution is imperfect. However, the fact that a scientific theory cannot yet render an explanation on every point should not be used as a pretext to thrust an untestable alternative hypothesis grounded in religion into the science classroom, or to misrepresent well-established scientific propositions. The citizens of the Dover area were poorly served by the members of the board who voted for the IV policy. It is ironic that several of these individuals who so staunchly and proudly touted their religious convictions in public would time and again lie to cover their tracks and disguise the real purpose behind the ID policy. With that said, we do not question that many of the leading advocates of ID have bona fide and deeply held beliefs which drive their scholarly endeavors, nor do we controvert that ID should continue to be studied, debated, and discussed. As stated, our conclusion today is that it is unconstitutional to teach ID as an alternative to evolution in a public school science classroom. Those who disagree with our holding will likely mark it as the product of an activist judge. If so, they will have erred, as this is manifestly not an activist court. Rather, this case came to us as the result of the activism of an ill-formed faction on the school board, aided by a national public interest law firm eager to find a constitutional test case on ID, who in combination drove the board to adopt an imprudent and ultimately unconstitutional policy. The breathtaking inanity of the board's decision is evident when considered against the factual backdrop which has now been fully revealed through this trial. The students, parents, and teachers of the Dover Area School District deserve better than to be dragged into this legal maelstrom with its resulting utter waste of monetary and personal resources. To preserve the separation of church and state mandated by the Establishment Clause of the First Amendment to the United States Constitution and Article 1, Section 3 of the Pennsylvania Constitution, we will enter an order permanently enjoining defendants from maintaining the ID policy in any school within the Dover Area School District, from requiring teachers to denigrate or disparage the scientific theory of evolution, and from requiring teachers to refer to a religious alternative theory known as ID. We will also issue a declaratory judgment that plaintiffs' rights under the constitutions of the United States and the Commonwealth of Pennsylvania have been violated by defendants' actions. Defendants' actions in violation of plaintiffs' civil rights is guaranteed to them by the Constitution of the United States and 42 U.S. Code Section 1983, subject defendants to liability with respect to injunctive and declaratory relief, but also for nominal damages and the reasonable value of plaintiffs' attorneys' services and costs incurred in vindicating plaintiffs' constitutional rights. Now, therefore, it is ordered that, 1, a declaratory judgment is hereby issued in favor of plaintiffs pursuant to 28 U.S. Code Sections 2201, 2202, and 42 U.S. Code Section 1983, such that defendants' ID policy violates the Establishment Clause of the First Amendment of the Constitution of the United States and Article 1, Section 3 of the Constitution of the Commonwealth of Pennsylvania. 2, pursuant to Federal Rule of Civil Procedure 65, defendants are permanently enjoined from maintaining the ID policy in any school within the Dover Area School District. 3, because plaintiffs seek nominal damages, plaintiffs shall file with the court and serve on defendants their claim for damages and a verified statement of any fees and or costs to which they claim entitlement. Defendants shall have the right to object to any such fees and costs to the extent provided in the applicable statutes and court rules. Signed, John E. Jones III, United States District Judge.